Welcome, fans, to another special episode of Rangers Ed. This is your host, Cousin Ed, here with my co-host. We got Coach Ed. What's up, Coach?
Got a shirt on tonight.
He's got the shirt on. Thank God. Saving us. We're about to do Zoom video off for these pods going forward, but you put the shirt on. And we got Little Ed here. What's up, Little Ed?
How we doing, fellas?
Good. Mikey Producey's here is not with us because he's got something special going on this weekend. I'll let him talk about that in the next episode, but that's exciting stuff. You know, let's just jump right into it. This is the end of the year episode, so we're going to give you guys our awards just like we did last year. We have a list of Rangers team-centric awards that we do. You know, but before we even get into any of that, let's just congratulate the Colorado Avalanche, Joe Sakic, Jared Bednar. Great coach, great GM, great organization, great players. They built it the right way through the draft. They struggled in the playoffs to get out of the second round for a few years, and they really were the best team. So I think it's nice in a way, even though the Rangers lost, that at least we could say the best team probably won. So just congratulations to the organization and all their fans who get to see it. It's been 21 years for them since Ray Bourque.
What a story. The guy Bednar, did you hear that whole coaching thing and everything? What he did, sacrificed, left his family for 3 years. Crazy stuff. Talk about commitment.
Yeah, ECHL. I think he played 9 years in the ECHL, they said, right?
And then, no, he played nine in the AHL, I think they said. Then he coached in the ECHL, I thought. No, whatever. It was minor all, league career.
It was all East Coast, I read. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And then he coached ECHL, yeah, and then he goes to Colorado.
Well, yeah, first coach ever to win all three levels.
Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah, and you're right. I heard something about him being away from his family during that time to pursue his dream of coaching. It's tough. I mean, look, when you're a professional athlete or coach, you know, as fans, we forget these people are human sometimes, and they really do give up a lot. Their families, you know, are very, you have to have a supportive family to do it. You know, it's hard to have a family otherwise, if you're not going to have a supportive one. They're on the road. How many days are NHL players on the road, you know, during the year? Probably a lot. So the wives got to be okay with that. The moms, et cetera, it's tough. So anyway, congrats to them. And it still stings being final three, but they're a great team. All right, so let's jump right into this before we do our off-season preview. Let's end the season with our Rangers Awards, Rangers Ed Awards here. So let's start with the Teammate of the Year Award, the Mats Zuccarello Teammate of the Year Award,
Zucky, which is
awarded to the player who keeps the room light and the energy positive in the locker room. Last year, Coach Ed took Brennan Smith, so did Mikey Producey's, and me and Little Ed took Pavel Buchnevich. Those guys are no longer with the team. So who we got this year? Coach, who's your teammate of the year this year?
I'm going with Goody. I don't know. His locker room presence, I'm sure, is above average. But just his on-ice presence, sticking up for teammates, getting in the mix of things, and all-around team player. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. If you watch this season, I probably watched over 70 games. You saw it every time he's on the ice. Came to the rescue if they picked on Fox, you know, anybody.
I like the pick of Goodrow. I think he's a good teammate, but I took Ryan Reeves. I think that he, you know, a lot of stuff he does is a little bit corny. I think it's a little corny at least, but, you know, you're a fan, you like it, but I just think he really took on a role of he balanced being very serious with making the guys in the locker room laugh and keeping it light. And to me, I think that's important. You need to have a guy like that. That's why I took Buchnevich last year, because I felt he did that last year. And I think Revo kind of filled that hole. What about you, Little Ed?
Yeah, I took him as well. At first, I had Lindgren with more for his on-ice teammate ability, and I thought that was a little bit more recency bias with like his playoff performance and just grinding it out and always coming back or whatever. So I changed it to Revo for all the same reasons you just said. I mean, even though it's a little corny, I think it's important to have a guy that is a little corny and just keeps them laughing, whether it's an awkward laughing or whatever it is. It's just, you don't listen, you don't think about the game for that split second, and that's very important.
Yeah,
and I'm sure he throws a lot of good parties and stuff like that as well.
Oh, I'm sure of that. And I'm sure if Mike were here, he would take Revo as well. So we could guess on that one. But no, I do think Gaudreau is a good pick, Coach, also. I'm not gonna crap on that one. I'm sure.
Yeah, I like Revo as a pick. What was the game he came in walking the show before the game when they walk in? Didn't he have like a pink suit on or something one time?
Yeah, he does like goofy stuff for the like
cancer
that.
Awareness or whatever, or purple suit or something. I just love that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's a great pick too. You know, he's a prototypical guy that, like I used to always say when Eddie was younger with The Rock, know your role and shut your mouth.
Yeah.
He doesn't complain that he had to sit out the last three games in the playoffs. You know, he knows what his job is, and I'm sure he was in the locker room pumping them up anyway. You know, prototypical teammate.
For sure. So kudos to Revo and Gaudreau and great seasons. All right, the Dan Girardi Surprise of the Year Award, which is awarded to the player who you did not expect to perform as well as they did in 2021-2022. So I'll go first. I'll tee it up. I took Keandre because I think I expected Keandre to get better. I took him last year as the rookie of the year over Lafreniere, and you guys really gave me a lot of crap for that. Maybe, you know, in retrospect, you know, I thought he had a great first half of last year, but I thought he tailed off at the end of the season. And then this season coming in, I expected some growth, but I mean, he's a project. He hasn't been playing D for a long time, so I didn't expect the kind of growth we saw this year, but he showed in, you know, throughout the season and into the playoffs that he could be a top pairing defenseman right now. And he's still on his entry level contract. So I'm a little bit surprised by that. I think he's ahead of the curve. So I took him.
I'll go next. You want to go with Coach?
No, go a little, Ed. You started it.
I'm jumping in.
Silence and ran with it.
I'm going with the Kreider man just so I could post another Kreider man tracker. he surprised, I think, everybody, every fan in New York. He comes out of nowhere for pretty much, and that's 52 goals. Fourth Ranger of all time to reach the 50 goal mark, including 26 in the power play, which is also a Rangers record. And, I think this is what we were all hoping for when he signed that contract, and, he did it and then some. And if he continues this, even a fraction of this, I think we're all going to be happy with the deal that he did sign, and it's going to turn out to be more of a team-friendly deal than what we were negatively saying a year or so ago. So congrats to him for the record-breaking or record-tying and just incredible season overall.
Yeah, no, that's a good one for sure. I mean, it's definitely a surprise. What about you, Coach?
I went with Kreider as well. I mean, we all were hoping that he would be that 30-35 goal scorer, and for him to just bust out and put 50 up was definitely a surprise. I mean, is he capable of it? But who would have thought? You know, it didn't go from 25 to 30 to 35 to 40. It went from 25 to 28 to 52, which is a surprise.
Yeah, just for the fans out there, if you weren't listening, so last year, Coach and I both took Blackwell as our surprise. This year it's Kreider and Keandre, right? And little Ed and Mike each took Kako. So, you know,
next.
Things change, you know, it's just an interesting little perspective, but yeah, well, Kreider
it just shows you that a veteran could be a surprise too. I mean, you know, that's his breakout career year.
Yeah. I mean, I could have taken Kreider there. Honestly, he's elsewhere on my list. So I had a little bias to not pick him, but all right, let's move on. So the Steve Vickers Rookie of the Year Award, awarded to the rookie who most impacted the 2021-22 Rangers roster. Little Ed, start us off.
I went with Braden Schneider on this one.
Schneiderman.
Is he the only rookie?
I know, that's what I was going to say. I was like, Yeah, I went with Schneider for sure. I mean, not only because he's probably the only rookie, I think he just had an outstanding season. I mean, he cracked the lineup very early on, and he didn't really leave it much. Just to do that this young as a defenseman and also be a physical presence, I mean, it was very cool to watch. And it's great to see that the defensive core and then some is really shining for the Rangers.
Yeah, it took Schneider too. I mean, he looked a little bit out of place at times in the playoffs, but one thing that stood out to me was he had a very short memory. I feel like if he made a mistake or got beat, I was like, oh boy, but then he would make a really nice play like a minute later, next shift or something. So
right.
I think he's mature, and I think he's going to get better very quickly. But yeah, I couldn't really think of anyone else to really pick. All the young players are now kind of veterans. It's weird. So I think him and Lundqvist were the only two real rookies on the roster for more than like 20 games. So it's clearly Schneider. What about you, Coach? Same?
Yeah, I picked him hands down. You guys know I'm a fan of his.
Yeah, he's a beast.
I mean, he wasn't phenomenal, but he wasn't noticeably bad in any situation.
He impacted the team, you know.
He was a third pairing guy. I watched him play against some top guys in the league, and I thought he held his own very well. Yeah, would have been interesting to see what they would have did against Colorado, but that was pretty scary.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm hoping they watch Tampa and watch how they're playing. I hope they learn something. That's all, you know, that's the only thing you could hope for, really.
Yeah, a little bit different than last year where we had about four or five guys to choose from. This year, only Schneider, but he's still deserving, even though that's the case. All right, let's move on to the Jesper Fast Key Contributor of the Year Award, awarded to the player with the best intangibles that positively impact the roster. Coach, start
aren't
us
you
off
go,
this-
why aren't you going in order?
I
got to keep
saves the big. Page. He saves the big ones for last, like the NHL.
I'm teeing there. Up the more important. I'm going in order from bottom to top. So it goes in order all the way up until we get to the players of the year.
Gotcha.
Then we do the doghouse, and then we do the positive awards.
All right, for the
if you were following along, you would have noticed I was going up the list instead of down the list. Next time, next year, when we do it, I'll start with the weaker awards on the top and build it down so you could just go in order.
Exactly. Okay? Now I got to turn the page. for the Jespy Award, I'm going with Laffy. I thought he steadily played pretty consistent all year. He mixed it up a lot, physical, put some pucks in the net. What do you have, 18?
Yeah.
I thought he played in different roles, different situations, different lines. Obviously, everybody knows who listens. I think he's very coachable, and I think he's headed well in the right direction.
Yeah, he had an effective year. I think he developed well throughout the season, but I don't know when you look at the season as a whole if I would say he was the key contributor. What about you, Little Ed?
I went with Goody, Barclay Goodrow. I think he stepped in nicely into the lineups, like almost seamlessly. He seemed like he enjoyed being around the guys, and he played up and down the lineup pretty much throughout the entire season. Not many players can do that and still be a key contributor, you know, I think he has a season high as well in points. I think he had 40 something points this year. So he put up some points. What did he have?
33.
It was definitely a season high.
Yeah, him. He had a career high in goals and points.
Yeah. So I mean, like I said, being able to not really find a comfort on a single line and not really find a home there and still be able to produce like that, I think that's very important to a team. And like I said, we can't even imagine what he could have brought off the ice. You know, we don't really get to see that kind of stuff. So him in the locker room, I mean, we're not really talking about the playoffs, but especially during the playoffs, just having a presence like that throughout the entire season is obviously a big deal.
Yeah, and Coach, correction, Lafreniere had 19 goals this 19? Year. So my outline was wrong with that. That was my fault. I'll take the blame.
But I thought he was on the verge of 20.
One shy of 20. He had 31 points. Sorry, Ed, to go off Gaudreau, but I just want to recap this. Two power play points, no power play goals. 19 even strength goals Lafreniere had. So,
is that the most on the team?
I think it was second to Kreider.
Oh, well, Kraut, yeah.
Yeah,
because he had 26.
He had 20-some. Well, he had a couple of shorties. So he had like 22 or 23. But anyway, yeah, Gaudreau, definitely Swiss Army knife type player, two-time Stanley Cup champion. He brought something to this team that helped propel them to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I love that pick. But I took Lindgren. I think Lindgren is the type of guy that you overlook and you can be critical of because he's not flashy. He is not like an Adam Fox. He doesn't throw hits like Trouba. He doesn't, you know, have the speed of a Cale Makar or whatever, but he's got decent speed. He's pretty physical. He's got decent puck skills, and he brings that gritty warrior mentality. And clearly in the playoffs when he was out, you could see how much of a contributor he is to the team. So that's why I took him. I thought, you know, his absence was sorely missed, and that clearly shows how important he is to the team.
You know, the few goals that he gets are significant goals.
Yeah.
Like that he doesn't get 10 goals Buffalo. And three are open netters. You know, every goal he gets seems to be like a key goal in that particular game.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he, you know, that game winner against Buffalo with like 1 second left or whatever.
Yeah, he had a couple of tap-in passes from Fox and, you know.
Yeah, they love getting below the dots. And together. Zone. I don't know how it always happens. You brought it up once or Eddie did. I don't remember. But I see it all the time now. After that, I was like, yep, there it is again.
In the playoffs a lot, too. And I was just like, what the hell? But
they must be good at it because they don't really get caught. I don't remember them ever like getting both, maybe once or twice, but
and they meet off each other. They've been playing together since they were 14. So same joke. It plays well every time.
Their mothers played together. They played Parcheesi together.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, a lot of key contributors on this team. We could have went a lot of different directions, evidenced by us picking three different guys, you know, so I think the team overall had a lot of key contributors, but all right. Next, the next one might go away in the future if we ever get a team captain. But considering we don't have a captain, we got six A's this year. A lot of candidates for the Mark Messier Leader of the Year award, awarded to the player who exhibited the most leadership qualities on the Rangers this season. I'll start this one. I went back and forth here, but I took Kreider because I think. Well, I think Trouba is probably a better captain for my style. I think Kreider exhibited more qualities this year, like at least to the fans. Who knows what they're doing in the locker room, but, you know, knocking the iPad out of Zibanejad's hand, not letting Zibanejad answer questions to the media, just the way he took blame for losses in the playoffs. And, you know, he takes a lot of responsibility off the young guys and stuff like that. So to me, that those actions is why I took him over Trouba. Coach, what about you?
I mean, I took Trouba. I just feel like, I mean, I love Kreider this year. I love the way he did his interviews. I mean, I'm looking at off ice when I see Trouba in interviews. He reminds me a little bit of like what I had read about, seen about Getzlaf, where he takes actions into his own hands and responsibility, which Trouba, Kreider did also. So I can't argue with either pick. I just love the way he did on ice physical play, and he took that kind of role and set the tone in quite a few games this year. Other than the playoffs, he set the tone in quite a few games.
Yeah. No, I agree. True, it's between Trouba and Kreider for me. And now that I said that, I'm sure Little Ed took somebody else randomly.
No, I went with Kreider as well. I think it's really it's the interviews and the way he carries himself off the ice and the way he takes accountability for the entire team. I think that's obviously very important, and you can't really teach that. And Kreider's really accepting that role. I think he's stepping up, and I mean, Trouba is as well, without a doubt, but I think Kreider just deserves it. I think he's been there the longest. I think he's earned it. And he hasn't just earned it. He's showing that he really wants it, and he could definitely carry himself with it. So I think he'd be my pick.
I mean, both of them take on that mentor role. You heard Keandre's interview that one time where he said he was like a big brother to him on and off the ice. I think we talked about Kreider doing that the last couple of years with all these young kids, with all these young rookies. And I think it just bodes well. I mean, can they have co-captains?
No, please no. We're not doing that. Don't even put that out there.
I mean, I think it'd be pretty cool.
two co-captains and six assistant captains.
One captain away, one captain home.
And then three and three.
Don't even start, man.
You need an assistant coach just to keep track of who's captain.
No, I think it's one. See, we don't even remember what it's supposed to be because we haven't had captains long. It's one captain and two assistants is what it's supposed to be. That's
you sure about that?
Yes.
And, two assistants?
And the reason it's six is because we don't have a captain, so we have three assistants at home and three assistants away. If we had a captain, it would be one captain and two assistants.
Okay. That's who do you vote for captain? I go with Kreider.
My only concern with naming Kreider or Trouba captain, those are the only candidates I could see really realistically, maybe Fox, but I wouldn't want to name Fox captain, is that I just don't think their contracts, I don't think they're going to be here for the length of their contracts, you know, because the salary cap. So it's just kind of naming a guy for 2 or 3 years.
You need a right leader for 2 or 3 years. These are important 3 years.
Right. I just think the Rangers organization doesn't want to do that. I think the next
you can't develop. You don't have time to develop a cap. You don't have time to develop a captain right now. You need it in the now. You got 3 years of where we could make a lot of noise. You need a captain now. You don't want to develop a guy that says, "Oh, in a few years he'll be a really good captain." They have to have those qualities now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you name one of those two. 3 years. I think you name one of those two captains for the length of what how their tenure here, whatever that may be. And then you got to hope a player like Laffey or someone like we said in the last episode steps up, and then you just it's an easy transition.
Yep.
And then
I think Laffey is the eventual captain. I think he's the eventual captain of this team, but yeah, I'd probably go with Trouba if I were to name a captain. I do think Kreider. I like Kreider as long as tenured, yada, yada, yada. I gave him the leader award, but I like Trouba's fiery play and personality a little more, I think. I don't know why. That's just the way I feel. But anyway, Trouba and Kreider definitely are the team leaders right now. So it's between them for captain. So, all right, this is what everyone's been waiting for, right? This is the end of season Coach Ed's copyright Doghouse Award for the worst player of the year. Or the biggest disappointment of the year, depends how you want to put it. We don't want to say these guys are bad players necessarily. Biggest disappointment or worst player. And coach, since it's your award, lead us off. Who are you putting in the doghouse for this season?
I mean, you know who it's going to be. You look down that list. <it's... laughs>
I think he said the same exact thing last year.
Yeah, he did. Almost verbatim. Who?
It's going to be Hedel. With his skill set, and his skating ability, and his speed, and everything else, Fox Laffey had 19 goals. Hedel had how many? Five, seven? What do you have?
He had 8 goals.
Third year in the league, he had 8 goals. Laffey's got 19, and Hedel's faster than him. And time to wake up. He showed some spark in the playoffs, but he's got to play a full season. We're close to a full season without getting hurt every 10, 15 games. And he's got to be more consistent on offense. Hopefully he wakes up next year.
Yeah, I think contrary to last year when you took Buchnevich ridiculously, even though he was fourth on the team in points, I don't want to put Hedel in the doghouse because he's only 22, but I can understand it more. I mean, in last year, 2020, 2021, in 42 games, Hedel had 8 goals and 14 assists. This season, 21-22, he played 67 games and he had 8 goals and 14 assists. So he played an additional 25 games and had the same amount of goals and assists. That's regression, right? Now, he had a good playoff, which to me saved his season a little bit and gave me a little more confidence that he can grow. Now maybe he's found something. We got to hope that that happens. But I don't think you putting him in the doghouse is outlandish. So I'm just going to say that. He's not in my doghouse. I put Georgiev in. He was atrocious this year. He couldn't stop a beach ball.
He had some good wins, though.
.896 save percentage, almost three goals against average. Not going to cut it in a backup role. We need a backup. Doesn't have to be Shesterkin, but he's got to be 91% on the save, something like that. You know, 2.4, 2.5, that's fine. He was atrocious. He was giving up 5-6 goals a game, and they were bad goals. Like,
but when we talked about this already, he doesn't have the backup goalie mentality. That's all there is to it.
That's fine. I mean, but for me, he's the one guy all season that when he played, I was like, this guy sucks. Like, what? I don't want to watch him play. I felt like he was a bad teammate.
Well, you're a typical Ranger fan. You just harp on someone until you run him out of town.
I am completely different than a typical Ranger fan. I'm completely different. I'm obsessed with the salary. Typical Ranger fan just wants to trade for, you know, Nathan MacKinnon. What are you talking about? I'm not a typical Ranger fan. I don't like him. I don't think he's a good fit for the team or a good player. We have an all-star, all-world goalie. We don't need him. Trade him and just find a veteran backup who can play 30 to 40 games, whatever. That's it. Somebody
30 who's more, to 40 games?
Well, yeah, in case of injury or something. I mean, Shesterkin's got an injury history, so you can't have a scrub, right? Find an up-and-coming goalie who's going to be less than a mil, or find a veteran like a Halak or something who just take $1 million, $1.5 million and back up Shesterkin. You know, I don't know. To me, he's the one guy.
I want them to get Thomas Greiss.
It's a short list on the doghouse for me this year.
It's tough. It's a tough one.
Yeah. All right. Little Ed, what about you?
I hate to do it, but I went with Kako. I really want him to turn it around. We're going to get into it a little bit, but I think he definitely regressed a little bit. It was a toss-up between him and Hedl, but I knew Coach Ed was going to take Hedl, so I wanted to mix it up a little bit. so I went with Kako.
You're not actually giving awards then, because you're giving awards based on what other people
I have a good reason for
you. Kako think it should well. Be Kako or Hedl? I mean, which one?
I went with Kako for sure. It sucks that he regressed. I mean, I saw that you said that I took him as a surprise last year. So I think he's got a lot more in him. I think a full season, hopefully. I mean, I heard they saw in the press conference that he had a pretty nasty scar on his wrist. So that means he got wrist surgery. So that can't feel great coming back from wrist surgery in the playoffs and having to play at that level and be that physical and try and dig in the corners. So I think he's going to turn it around next year. But for now, he's in the doghouse for me.
Yeah, I can't argue with Kako. It's disappointing the guy's drafted second overall. You want him to produce. I mean, I know he's not in the position like other second overall picks. We talk about it, but 3 years now, and you expect a little more offense. The thing with Kako, I feel like with his first year, he was one of the worst players analytically in the league. In his second year, he was one of the best defensive analytic players. And this year, I feel like he just kind of didn't have an effect on offense or defense. So, yeah, it's concerning. You know, he's a free agent. He's a restricted free agent. So what kind of deal are you going to give him? And what are we going to get in the future? You're saying you think he'll bounce back. I hope so, because I like Kako. I think he's 6'3". You know, he's good with the puck on a stick. He's got the skill. It's just in his head, I think. But I think he's worthy of a doghouse award. So I can't really argue with Hedl or Kako this year, as much as I hate to say that. But all right. So three different picks for the doghouse. We're not unanimous on anything yet. Let's see if we get unanimous on one of these awards. Let's move on to our main awards now. The Brian Leetch Defenseman of the Year Award, awarded to the best all-around defenseman on the 21-22 New York Rangers, just on this season. I'll start us off. I mean, look, it was a close call for me, but I took Fox. I just think he's our best defenseman when you break it down.
Who was it a close call with?
Trouba. I mean, you could also make a case for Miller, I think. But I think, you know.
I mean, Miller improved, but he's not your best defenseman of the year.
Well, I'm saying you can make a case, I said. But I think it's Fox. I mean, the guy, how many assists did he have this year? He had like 70 assists or something.
He can't. I mean, I don't think he could pick someone other than Fox, even though I don't think he's physical enough. He just make, he did get more physical towards the end of the year in the playoffs for sure. But
I mean, he had like 75 points. It's like,
forget the offense. We're talking about defense also. And he just makes a lot of key plays, you know, it's moving the puck.
His transition,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, moving the puck, you know.
So you took second him
to none on the team. Yeah, I took Fox. It's hard not to take him.
Little Ed took Trouba, definitely.
I went with Trouba. I think his defensive presence throughout the entire season, the big hits that he threw just over the course of the season, I think that makes a huge difference with other teams that you play against. I mean, obviously, the easy pick is Fox, but I think defensively, playing with that edge, that meanness, that makes a huge difference over the course of the whole season and then carries into the playoffs. It's just building that reputation, just not being able to get away with anything in front of the net, behind the net, neutral zone, at the blue line. He's just always a threat.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely everything you said is true, but I don't know. His transition game, his skating ability, all around, Fox, I think Fox is a better player, a better defenseman, but I can't disagree with everything you just said. He definitely is a physical presence, and it's like we said all season, it's good to have a guy who's hated and feared.
Can someone please tell me, I hate to get a little off topic, how McAvoy was picked ahead of Fox in the Norris Trophy?
It has to do with analytics. The analytics people love McAvoy. They look at puck possession and transition and speed and shots on goal and stuff like that.
I don't get it.
It's not even close.
I mean, he's a good player, but he's not as good as Fox.
There's no way on my team I take McAvoy over Fox if I'm building a team.
Nope.
It's not going to happen. But anyway.
I don't know, but you're going to get that Bruins bias, you know. He's going to get a little bit of a bias. Oh,
I don't consider myself speaking of the Bruins.
Speaking of the Bruins, and not to get off topic, we'll do this later. Let's keep going. So I'll save it. So
later.
Let's move on. So by the way, last year, same thing. Everyone took Fox and Little Ed took Trouba. So not much has changed in a year. So the Adam Graves Forward of the Year Award. We're awarding this to our best all-around forward on the 21-22 New York Rangers. Not necessarily a Selke award. I know you guys are going to say that. That's not what it necessarily is. But just the best forward. Not, best offensive guy, best Selke. Just best forward. Little Ed, who'd you take?
I went with Mika. I think his presence just in the lineup in general is just drives the offense for the Rangers. I think we spoke about it in the playoff recap episode. When he takes games off, or if he's hurt, or if he's I think he had COVID or whatever at one point, or recovering from COVID, blah, blah, blah. It's just noticeable. I mean, I know Panarin had 96 points. Obviously a good pick too, but when he's not in the lineup, I think the Rangers still have a pretty good chance at winning. But without Mika in the lineup, it's pretty difficult without your number one center. So I went with Meeks.
You can't argue with Zibanejad other than that he seems to take a period of time off during the season, every season.
Still contributes.
This year he
kill wise and
yeah, but there was a period, if you guys remember, where, you know, I was bringing up like, oh, someone said he went vegan and that was the excuse
for
play. Like every year I feel like that happens.
There's something.
So I went a different way and I gave it to Kreider because I think he just was consistent the entire season. He was our best forward all season, period. You know, he's not our best forward. If I'm analyzing, you know, the team, it's Panarin, Zibanejad, right? But this season, he was our best forward. So I gave it to him. How about you, Coach?
I went with Kreider too. I mean, also add to the fact that he excelled on the penalty kill.
Yeah,
he was a big part of the penalty kill. And, like you said, consistent. I don't think he took more than like maybe one or two games off, maybe three games off in a stretch, but every play is pretty much going to do that. It didn't happen often where he had a stretch of two or three games that you were like, oh, come on. I thought he was very good. I'm hoping he could mimic that season again next year.
That would be nice. We'll see.
I mean, don't forget, they just said a couple of days ago, right, that he had wrist surgery after the season. So he must have been hurting a little bit. I mean, I don't know why he couldn't throw a body check because of that, but obviously he was hurting a little bit in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, who knows if he was hurt. I feel like all these guys are banged up. I was reading Kucherov had like an MCL sprain, and all these guys are just...
Oh, yeah, it's a beating. They take a beating.
They're warriors. So, yeah, Kreider, for me, definitely. And it's tough. I could see Zibanejad too. But, all right, let's go to the Rod Gilbert Most Valuable Player Award. Most valuable to the 21-22 New York Rangers. This one is probably unanimous.
Igor.
did anybody not pick Igor? I mean, I was waiting for you guys to just go. Coach, who'd you take?
I took Mika. I mean, just for what Eddie said, with him out of the lineup, they had did not have a good chance. I mean, I can't argue with Igor either, but I think Zibby in the lineup, all three zones.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Igor Shesterkin wins the Vezina Trophy and gets no awards from Coach Ed. Is that what you're saying?
That's what happened.
That's what happened.
That just happened.
You know, you not picking Igor for the MVP is you're just blatantly not even hiding your Russian bias. That's what's happening. It's just it's like blatant. No Panarin, no Shesterkin. Last year, Buchnevich in the doghouse. What did they have to do to get an award from you? He won the Vezina Trophy. He had the third highest save percentage in NHL history.
I didn't say he wasn't the best goalie on the team.
All right, so for Coach Ed, we should add the Mike Richter best goalie on the team.
So whoever's the starting goalie. Wow, I can't believe that. Anyway, I'm a little in shock. Yeah. All right, so that'll wrap up our awards. So
what Eddie described as the best forward was what a most valuable player is. Without him in the lineup, it takes away a large chance to win. You could say that about Shesterkin also.
If you took Shesterkin off the Rangers for the whole season and put a league average goalie, the Rangers are a bubble playoff team. And they probably – if the farthest they go is losing in the first round, most likely. So – I can't.
What if Georgie gets hot because he has the starter's mentality?
Exactly. 2 years ago, he took over Lundqvist's job. We argue about this all the time. Everybody was like,
he wasn't that good. He wasn't that good.
All right. Well, he took his job.
He wasn't Shesterkin. Shesterkin
is the third highest. I didn't say that.
2 years ago, he was this. 2 years ago,
he was 2 years ago, he took Lundqvist's job.
He was decent 2 years ago.
He was playing multiple games in a row while Lundqvist was backup.
He was decent. Okay. Decent. League average.
He took his job.
All right. Lundqvist was, whatever. We can debate that all we want. But Shesterkin
had the third highest. Yeah, but what Eddie said as a starter, they could have won.
Third highest save percentage in NHL history of any goalie.
All right. Third. He got the Vezina.
And not the team MVP from Coach Ed.
Exactly.
But the Vezina. But he got the Vezina. Wow. I mean, Shesterkin, sixth Rangers goalie to win the Vezina, third goalie in league history with a save percentage of .935 or higher. Tim Thomas and Dominik Hasek, the only two to have a higher save percentage. But
Thomas, huh?
Tim Thomas is the highest in league history, .938.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So let's change the focus a little bit here. And that ends our 21-22 season. So good season to the Rangers. A little clap there. Let's look ahead now to the offseason. Things are moving really quickly. The NHL draft is next week, July 7th and 8th, and free agency opens July 13th. Qualifying offers to restricted free agents need to be in by July 13th. So who do we got running the show? Chris Drury, who was just nominated for GM of the Year, along with Julian Breezeball and Joe Sakic. I think that's getting announced at the NHL draft. I would expect Sakic to probably win, but hey, Drury did a hell of a job at the deadline to get that nomination, and the Rangers went to the Eastern Conference Finals. We can criticize his individual moves here and there. Individually, you can criticize any GM's moves, but overall, his body of work, you can't really argue with getting the Rangers to the Eastern Conference Finals his first year as GM. So what has he done already? He signed Vitali Kravtsov, coach's favorite, to a one-year deal, $875K. It's a one-way contract. Expect Kravtsov to either be on the team or traded. And Sammy Blais re-signs for below his qualifying offer, 1 year, 1.525. So two good contracts to get. Rangers obviously are in a little bit of cap trouble. So looking ahead, the Rangers right now with those two signings sit at just about, I want to give you the exact number, Coach, because I don't want any hubbub here. Currently have a little bit more than 10 million of projected cap space for this season. So they're in a tough spot. We're going to do a little game here. We got a bunch of unrestricted free agents. We got just a little bit more than 10 million in cap space. Keep that in mind while we talk about these players. You can't sign them all, Coach. It's limited to 10 million in cap space, okay?
Ryan, now, when you say there's 10 million in cap space, that means you're not including any of these unrestricted free agents.
Correct.
So you only have enough money to sign two of them.
Maybe. Because you also have Kapokako, which is not included. Right now, the Rangers are missing a middle six center and a middle six winger. So you got to figure Kako is that middle six winger, and they need a middle six center. And then some depth pieces and a backup goalie. They can also add a little bit of cap space by moving a few guys. Patrick Nemeth, $2.5 million. If they move that, that'll free up a little bit of space. So keep that in mind. All right, stay or go. We're going to run through this as quickly as possible, but give Coach some time to analyze this. Ryan Strome, Coach's favorite, last year's forward of the year for Coach, projected to get – salary somewhere between 5-6 years, 5.7 to 6.5 million per season. So at that number, and you know, 5 or 6 years between 5.7 and 6.5 million, you sign him or let him go, Coach?
You let him go.
What at what number and years would you need him to sign to keep him?
3 years, 4.5.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, he currently makes 4.5, you know.
I would at 4.7, give him a little bit of a raise. I'm not keep – well, there's other guys on this list I'd rather have. I'm a big fan of Strome, but
– I don't disagree.
I don't think he's a game breaker.
I don't disagree with you.
He's a great teammate, great locker room presence. He's a, I mean, I love him, but 7 million, 6 to 7 million a year? I don't know. It's tough.
Little Ed's there, go.
If he's asking for 7 million, I say go for sure. That's too much.
5.7 to 6.5 is the estimate, somewhere in that range.
I'd say 5 million. Yeah, I was going to say max out of 5 for a decent term, 3-4 years at the most. I mean, it's really got to come down to Panarin talking management into getting him to stay, or even Panarin getting him to stay by telling him to take a more of a friendly deal or something.
Too bad Panarin can't take more of a friendly deal so he can stay, right?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, they should be able to restructure contracts. And then if Panarin really wants him here, they should just be like, all right, so give him $2 million to your contract. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, so it's tough. It's really tough. I mean, you got to hope that Panarin could just play with anybody.
Or you might see Panarin in a blockbuster deal.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but.
We'll talk about that.
They definitely need – they obviously need a second-line center. I mean, I don't think that's going to be Hedl. I think he could keep growing and keep his role as the third-line center if he's going to play like he did in the playoffs. I think they either need to sign Strome to a friendly deal or go out and get a bona fide second-line center. I don't think the second-line center is on the Rangers right now.
All right. So speaking of second-line center, let's look at Andrew Kopp. Kopp coming off a $3.64 million annual average value on his contract. Ugh, God, that choked out of me. He's looking at somewhere between 4, 5, 6 years in the 5.5 to 6 million a year range. Coach, at that number, Kopp, stay or go?
I got a problem with the amount of years at these numbers personally. 5 years is a big commitment. I might give him 3 years at 6 million or 5.5 million, but 5 is a big commitment for a player of his caliber. I mean, you sign Panarin, Trouba, Mika to those long-term deals. That's one thing, but I don't know. These guys are interchangeable. I mean, I love them, but you, just like we got him from Winnipeg, you can get another guy of his caliber at a better deal, I think.
So you say go?
At that number, I say go. I think you got to try to sign a couple of these guys to somewhat friendly contracts.
Little Ed?
I really love Kopp. I love what he brings to the table. I mean, if he, I don't know. What do you think about him at center? I don't think we didn't really see enough of him playing center to really get a like a bigger sample size, if you want to call it that.
Well, I think, I think he played center a decent amount, didn't he?
No, he played right wing.
He played wing for the most part. I mean, I love the way he played. He brought a lot to the table. He really stepped it up in the playoffs. I mean, I'd love to see him for a whole season. $6 million for 5+ years, that's a lot. That's a lot.
I think he's a Drury type player. I think.
Yeah, I'm going to go with stay.
Drury's going to sign him.
You're going to say stay?
I'm going to say stay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Drury's going to do, but I would let him go with that number. That's just too much. They don't have the space. I mean, they're going to have to sign Lafreniere and Miller big deals next year. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. And I'd rather go into the bargain bin and look for, you know, somebody who's bought out or a veteran to take the second, third line center role and hope he grows. I mean, I don't know. I think if you sign Kopp, it is to be the second line center of Panarin, though. I don't think you sign him for a wing spot. We're full on the wings, and we got prospects coming on the wings too. So, yeah, if you sign him, it's got to be.
Yeah, what about Kopp, Panarin, and Kraftsoff, second line?
Oh, yeah, Kopp will love that. Kopp will be hustling all over the ice while Panarin and Kraftsoff go east-west the blue line. Kopp will be offside 45 times.
And have to back-check half his career.
I don't know about putting Kraftsoff with Panarin, but they might. We'll see.
There is no right. way Kraftsoff is going to be on the Rangers.
I don't know. It's looking like he is.
All right, we'll see.
So
there's no way Drury's going to.
I mean, that's a valuable piece at 870K. That's the only reason I think it might happen because of the cap struggle. With his talent at that price point, you're not going to find another player to contribute at that number. So it might be a kind of like, all right, let's, you know, player, if you want to get traded, play your way into a trade. And then maybe they make up. Look, Tarasenko made up with St. Louis, right? He demanded a trade. You never know. Anyway, Frankie Vetrano. I think he became a little bit of a fan favorite. He came in. He scored some big goals in the regular season. He got hot. He played with Zibanejad and Kreider, kind of filled the spot Buchnevich left when he was traded. And, you know, they searched all season for someone to fit on that line. And he fit really well. One thing I like about him is he shoots the puck, and he's got a really good shot. And we don't have a lot of guys that do that. So I would like to keep Vetrano. But, Little Ed, what do you think? At Vetrano, we're probably looking at somewhere between 3 and 4 years, and I would guess $3 and $4 million.
I think that's a good deal for a player like him if he could find a home and continue to produce on that line. I mean, having a line with Mika's shot, Petrano's shot, and Kreider's net front presence, I think it's I think that's looking at a pretty decent first line. I'll go with stay.
All right, well, just so you know, you signed Kopp and Vetrano to a combined $10 million, so you're done.
That's okay. The list is almost over.
Coach, what about you?
I didn't sign anybody yet.
No, you didn't sign anybody.
I give Vetrano 3 years of $3.5-4 million. I think if he plays a full season with Kreider and Mika, like Eddie said, I think he'll put 20 in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a decent deal, especially if there's no move protection isn't given, so it can be traded easily. If they need the cap space, they can always move it pretty easily, so I'm not too worried about it. I would give him if he takes a 4-year deal at $3 million a year, or a 3-year deal at $3.5 million, somewhere one of those two, I think I would do it. I would pull the trigger and make it happen somehow. But it's going to be tough. I crunch the numbers next year. So I'll say he stays if that's actually his price point. If it's higher, no way.
What is
it? I also don't think Kopp would sign for six. I mean, I think he would sign for a little bit less, but either way.
Well, that's the thing. So you're, when you say stay for Kopp, you know, I was talking about that price point. If you were saying,
okay,
if you were saying at that price point, go, but you think he'll take a discount, then say that, you know, I mean, that you think that Kopp will take less and that's why he's going to stay, or do you?
Yeah. I think at the end of the season, they had a conversation. I mean, I think Strom's the only one that's going to be looking for a serious, like, whatever, payout. I think the other two guys, I think they're a little bit more of like, not grinders, but like, I don't know, more of just like journeyman type players that they're just happy to be on a winning team. They're not going to want to go to like Arizona or like Seattle or something like that.
Okay. So you think he's going to take a discount. So what do you think? Like 5 years, 5 million or 5 years, 4.9 or something like
that? Yeah. I'd be happy with like 5x5 or something like that. But if we're going by your price point, I think you got to let him walk at 6.
I don't think Drury's going to sign these guys to 5 years.
No, I think Drury's is a stingy negotiator. I think he's going to be stingy.
I don't think he's going to let him do it. Yeah, I mean,
I hope so. I hope he's a good negotiator.
Somehow they talk Fox into taking less. They negotiated Zibby taking a little less. I think they're going to sell something to these guys, and they're going to calm it down a little bit. We'll see. I'm not saying all of them, but I think a guy like Kopp, I think he takes the game a little more personally, and I think he might stay. And he's one of Trouba's cronies.
The only thing is he can go home to Detroit. Detroit's got a lot of cap space, so, and they're an up-and-coming team too, so you never know.
Yeah, but you think they're going to give him that much money?
I don't know. He's reaching the point where in his career where he could be a veteran who's had a couple deep playoff runs and be valuable. Who knows?
All right. Yeah, you don't know.
All right, Tyler Mott came over. He did get hurt, so we didn't get to see the full product. But when he played, boy, was he effective, man, in that fourth line role, penalty killer. He's a hustler. He blocks shots. He's really just a really good player. And came in at a 1.225 AAV on his last deal. He's probably going to get a decent raise on that, but not too much. I would predict from what I've been seeing out there that he might get some term. There might be a team out there that gives him like 4 to 6 years, but he's probably looking at like a value, a deal around 2 to 2.5 million a year, even at those years. I don't know. I saw an interview with Mott on, I think it was ESPN, and they asked him about what it was like to play in New York. And his quote was, "I loved my time in New York." So I just kind of read that as, he's going to just make as much money as he can. And look, when you're a fourth line guy and you get a chance to hit unrestricted free agency in the prime of your career, and you just had a, you know, you showed the NHL how valuable you can be. I can't really blame the guy if he wants to go cash out, you know? So for that reason, I think he's going to go just get the highest possible deal. And I don't think that's going to be one the Rangers match. I think there will be a team that overpays, but I would love to keep him. Coach, what do you think?
I would keep him at the 3 to 4 year at $2 to $2.5 million. I love that kind of player.
I think he's worth that, but I think he's going to get more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, there's going to be a team that will overpay for him. So you think,
it's got to be a team that's a contender. I mean, a team like Arizona doesn't pay for a guy like that.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be a contender. I mean, if you look at what happens, like, a few years ago, Vancouver was bad, and they went out and signed like Jay Beagle and like all these fourth liners to like 4 or 5 year deals. You see the Islanders did it. They signed Cizikas like a 6 year deal, you know? So it's just, I don't know. I think that there's going to be a team with a little bit of cap space that says, hey, this is a guy who can contribute to changing our culture. Let's just get him. But kind of like the Rangers did with Gaudreau, right? They got Gaudreau, they overpaid for him, and they gave him 6 years. Like,
true.
I can see someone doing that with Mott.
Yeah, but so. Gaudreau came in with Stanley Cup winning mentality.
No, I understand. That's why he's not going to get
a little different. You're paying for that experience as well.
He's not going to get 3 and 3.6 like Gaudreau did, but I think he's going to get, you know, some term. What about you, Little Ed?
I agree with you. I'd love to see him stay, but I don't think the Rangers have room for him right now, unfortunately. I think they tried to capitalize on the cap situation they had at the end of the season. Drury did a great job at putting together some missing pieces. It's a shame that we didn't really have him at 100% healthy for the playoffs, but I think that's the last we're going to see of him.
Yeah, I think so. All right. So last unrestricted free agent that we'll do, Kevin Rooney. Right place, right time, Rooney. Been a good Ranger. Got him on a cheap deal. A two-year contract.
He was an assistant captain at one point.
Less than a mil. Fourth liner, PKer, in and out of the lineup. No, you know, fighting. Scored some big goals. Just a really good player, good teammate. Love Runes. I don't really know what we're looking at with a contract here. I don't know.
What's he making now?
He's making like $850,000.
Wow.
So he's looking at something like probably 1.5 to 2.5, 2 to 4 years, something like that.
I don't see him getting 2.5. I would say under 2.
I would think, you know, but again,
I don't think he's done enough to jump up that high. I mean, I don't know. I love him as a player for sure, but I don't know. I'd be surprised. I guess some other team might do it, like you said. They're looking for that style player, penalty killer.
You never know if a team has some cap space, you know, they might throw. You never know what's going to happen. So that's why I think 1.5 is like a reasonable number for him, but I could see a team overpaying, right? So what about you, Coach? What do you think? I mean, are they going to bring him back, or do you think they're going to try and find the next Rooney?
At what number?
Say 1.75 for 3 years.
I think I'd take him for that. If we could, you know, there's a lot that depends on. If it comes down to, can we let Kopp stay, or – you know, could we let Kopp and Vetrano stay and lose Rooney? Then we lose Rooney.
Right.
You know, there's a lot to think, you know, depends on
who they... I don't like this game.
Yeah, it's tough. There's a lot of variables.
Well, that's what's going to happen. You know,
we need a dry erase board.
Eddie ran out of cap space 2 minutes into the game. he's down to 250K. You better trade Nemeth quick.
Oh, well, you said that was an option. So did that happen? Am I good?
Yeah, I think they're going to try and dump that contract. Yeah, definitely. But anyway, so what do you think?
They're going to dump his contract. The guy just had a kid with complications, and they're going to get rid of him.
Well, he's still going to get paid. So I don't feel that bad for him. Little Ed, Runes.
I thought he had no cap space.
Yeah, we're...
Change the scenario.
I think you gotta let him go with this, with everything else that's going on. He took a mil off
because he said he changed Kopp to, well, I only had a discount, so
I feel like I'm doing a SAT test.
He took Kopp in at $5 million.
I feel like I'm taking the SATs. If we pay Kopp this and Strome that, can you sign this?
Yeah, it's crazy. So, dude, I don't know. Maybe for $1 million.
Yeah, maybe $1 million. I don't know.
Can't we just turn to communism and everybody makes the same amount of money and we keep the team?
No, I mean, there are some people out there that are saying that players that you draft and develop should count less against the cap than their actual contract to promote like guys staying with the team and not losing them, but that's never going to happen. That would favor like Toronto, New York, Detroit, all the big, you know, the big teams, Montreal. Anyway. I'm going to say he goes. I think they can find, like, Brodzinski can do what he did at, you know, 750K. So I don't even waste my time with Rooney. I wish him well and thank him for his service. But it's tough. It's tough. All right. So last one we'll do, RFA, Kopple Kakko. So look, here's how we're going to do this. If you think there's three options. Let me give you a second. I'll go first so you guys have time. There's three options here. Does he get offer sheeted by somebody? Because if somebody offers him an offer sheet like Carolina did to Montreal last year, if there's a team with cap space that says, whatever, let's give him 1 year, $6.1 million, Rangers are going to have trouble matching that. They can steal Kakko's RFA rights and pay us a first and a third round pick for him. But do you think that might happen? And then the second thing is, do you think he signs a bridge deal or a long-term deal if he signs with the Rangers? Meaning, is he going to get like 2 years, $2.5 million like Hedl did? Or are they going to lock him up long-term for a bigger number? Or do you think he gets traded? So, I mean, I think that they're going to lock him up to a bridge deal just because I think if I'm looking at the young guys here, you know, there's really a group here that needs to get signed. And it's going to be tough because we have a core locked in with long-term deals. So you got Lafreniere, Heedle, Miller, Kako, Schneider, Jones, all those guys are going to need to get paid. And I think if I'm the Rangers, I prioritize Lafreniere and Miller. Those two got to be locked up long-term as soon as possible. And then the other guys I'm bridging as long as I can. And then if they break out, I'll deal with it then. Like, that's the way I would approach it. So I would just bridge Kako for as little as possible for 2 years. Let him keep developing. If he doesn't develop, you trade him at some point. But I'm not going to lock Kako up. I changed my mind on this, actually. I did a cousin head flop, a patented flop. Initially, I said lock him up long-term, but I want to lock up Laffy, like, now. Like, I want him locked in. Give him, like, 7 years, $5 million a year. Just lock him up. I don't even want to play around with that because he's going to be a $10 million a year player, most likely. So I say bridge Kako 2 years, like, $2.5 million a year. Little, what do you think is going to happen with Kako?
I agree with you. I think you got to bridge him, sign him before the offer sheet comes or whatever. Because, yeah, obviously, if they offer sheet him, you can't match that. So, yeah, you got to go with the bridge.
I mean, the other option is to trade him. You know, I mean, he could be a headline piece in a trade for a second line center. And that's the reality. As much as I don't think they should do that, it's a possibility. They should be considering all options, you know. So if you put together a deal, Kako, Nils Lundqvist, and a first next year, you can get a really good center, I think, for that package. Whether they could fit that center under the salary cap.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's what I was about to say. Who's that going to be?
But that's another question. But that is
also. And you won't be able to sign Kopp, and there's other things.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I think bridge is the safest move. You agree, obviously. Coach, what do you think?
I agree with that. I mean, it's logical. It's a matter of if someone else out there thinks he's more valuable or the potential is more valuable. I don't think he's worth much more than that right now. He hasn't played full seasons, you know, as far as injury and whatnot. Well,
the only reason you talk about it is because he was benched in game six, right? So they asked him after, obviously, is that going to impact you signing? And he said no. And he said he's motivated to, you know, prove to the team that he's not someone that you would sit. But the reality is, we don't know what's going on with him. I mean, he might say, I don't really see this team as giving me an opportunity to succeed. You know, I don't know.
They sat him one game. He played 60 games.
Well, I understand, but he's not on the power play. He's kind of on the fringe. You know, he might be like, oh, I could sign in Detroit and I'll play on the power play with Raymond and Sider, or I'll sign with, Arizona and be a first liner. Who knows what's going on with this guy? So yeah. If that's the case, some team could steal him on an offer sheet. He might not sign a bridge. He might say, no, I want a long-term deal. I want more money. You never know. But it takes two to tango. But if they can, I would lock his ass up 2 years, 2.5 real quick. But all right, so just to wrap up a little bit here on this, but the draft approaching, what can we expect? So fans, I think, you know, we're going to be looking at the Rangers don't have too many draft picks in this year's draft. They just have a second. Today, Winnipeg took our second round pick this year, which we got for Buchnevich. So they took that pick, and they have our first round pick. So we only have our second, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. I expect, you know, Gauthier, Hayek, Georgiev probably get traded in the next week or so for draft picks. And I think in plays, you know, we should be looking at Nils Lundqvist or Zach Jones likely getting traded at some point this summer, either for a center prospect or a first-round pick or something, because we just don't have enough space for all these guys. So I think those are things we should look for. I mean, Coach, what do you think? Do you think I think you've probably given up on Lundqvist, even though he's only played 27 games, but he's still a highly regarded prospect. You have Lundqvist and Zach Jones. You know, both of them, one of them should be getting an opportunity next year.
Well, maybe one of those guys plays with Schneider on the third pair.
I think that's the idea, but what do you do with the other one? Put him in Hartford?
You got to make the move. Otherwise, they're going to get lost and they're going to get frustrated. I agree with that. I mean, one of them, they got to get some, they got to get what, you know, what they're looking for. They got to get that second line center, third line weighing something. You know, it depends what they're going to package. Well, you know, again, more variables.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, it's not just, oh, it'd be nice to have him in Hartford, but they don't want to be in Hartford, and they're probably at a point in their career where they're ready to be in the NHL, you know, at least on a third pair. So, I mean, Ed, if you had to pick one going into this season that you say, okay, this is where I would probably want to start with Schneider on the third pair, would it be Lundqvist or Jones, and what would you do with the other one?
That's a tough record, I take Jones.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Jones as well, because I think Lundqvist would be more valuable in a trade right now. I think a team would definitely be looking for a player like Lundqvist. I think he's just more of like a shiny toy in a way. Jones kind of flies under the radar a little bit. I don't think the rest of the league really knows about him other than like really Ranger fans or like local fans. So I'd be perfectly fine with Schneider and Jones as a pair. And then packaging Lundqvist with something for maybe that second line center or even just another depth forward. I mean, losing Mott and possibly losing Rooney, we're going to have to rebuild the fourth line also, you know? So there's a lot of missing pieces that I think a player like Lundqvist can definitely be valuable in getting.
Yeah, I think Lundqvist, what I would do is I would either move him for a first round pick, not a second, but a first round pick, or I would move him for an equivalent center prospect who's got term on their ELCs to save cap space. I would look at teams that are losing a right-handed defenseman, like Dallas is losing Klingberg. Florida needs young guys that are cheap. So I would look at teams like that need a defenseman on cheap deals and see what kind of center prospects they have and see if I could swing a deal. And if that doesn't work out, I would try to get a first rounder and draft a center because we don't have enough centers. I wouldn't trade him for a center who's probably going to be on the team this year, unless it's like a Kirby Dock, like a 23-year-old guy who needs a change of scenery like that, a former top pick. I know Chicago's got him rumored, so we'll see. I think he will get moved. I think Jones is the guy to play with Schneider. He's small, but he's shifty. And I think, like, we were talking about this one episode, like, Torrey Krug is a small guy. Like, you can have a small defenseman if they're shifty and quick and they can move the puck, but he's small. I mean, you got to worry about Jones long-term in the playoffs. Is that who you want in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, it's tough, but I just like the fact that you play with one guy that's smaller in the puck handler, one guy who's physical. So that's why
I say
he fits with Schneider right now. Schneider will have that one-year experience under his belt, and I think that would make a pretty good pair.
Yeah, the other thing is look for the Rangers. They had a backup goalie. You were saying Grice said you wanted him. He kills the Rangers. I was actually looking at Charlie Lindgren because he's Ryan Lindgren's brother, and I think that would be hilarious to bring in Charlie Lindgren. and I think he would cost like $800,000 on a 2-year deal or something. And just
what team is he on now? I didn't even know he was in the league.
He's on St. Louis. He was actually a better prospect than Ryan was, but he just never panned out. You know, he was behind Price at one point in Montreal, and he was behind Binnington and Husso in St. Louis.
But what about Malcolm Subban? What's he doing?
I don't know where Subban's at now.
I know he was on one team as like the third goalie or something.
Yeah, Vegas traded him. Yeah, somebody like that, like a move like that, I think, for a player, a goalie is like 27, 28 and has been blocked, I think is smart. So we'll see. We'll see what they do there. I don't know if they're going to go with a guy like Grice or Halak, who might cost a little more money. We'll see. But we might also see some prospects on the team. I think Drury might just stay pat, stand pat and just kind of make some minor tweaks and just kind of fill the roster out. I'm not really sure what he's going to do, but that would be my decision. What about JT Miller? Everybody's been talking about that, Coach. I know you're all over that.
Yeah, but he's going to command a lot of money now. He's up well, there near 100 points.
So he's looking for like 9 or 10 million.
Yeah, well, this year he won't. So we could trade them a bunch of prospects for 1 year of JT Miller and go for the cup and then lose all those prospects and then lose JT Miller also. We could do that.
I know, Coach.
We could do that.
Go for it. I mean, I want to go for it, but not at the expense. I'm going out on the limb. I'm going to say he's going to move Panarin in a big blockbuster
this offseason.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they did it with Gabbert.
The rumor was he wasn't happy with his playoff
He's got a no move clause, so it's not up to Drury.
Well, maybe he'll want to go somewhere. Maybe he'll want to go with Buchnevich.
How are you going to trade an $11.6 million contract? There's not a lot of teams that could take that contract. That's going to be a difficult trade. I wouldn't trade Panarin. I think that would be a mistake.
I didn't say I would, but I got a feeling that something's going to happen.
I think that would be a mistake, man. He'll be fine in the future playoffs. He didn't play well, but, you know, he knows that, and he admitted it, and he's going to come back better. So I wouldn't do that. But,
all that stuff was just rumors and clickbait shit. I can't stand some of that stuff. I mean, I hope it's not true. But, I mean, the only reason I don't think it's true is because he owned up to it, like you just said. I mean, if he came out and said, like, something crazy, like, oh, I don't agree with what my GM said about me or something, it'd be a different story. But he owned up to it. It's no secret. I said this in a group chat to my friends because they were kind of, like, trolling me a little bit, and I was just like, if he at one point had a letter on his chest, or if he's like one of the assistant captains and he can't own up to his play in the offseason, then honestly, then I don't really want a player like that on my team anyway, you know. Right. So I don't think he's that type of player. I mean, he is, like, to a certain extent, we always talk about or accuse him of playing pond hockey and kind of being in his own world, but I think when it really boils down to it, he's still a hockey player, and I think he's able to own up to it and accept his downfalls here and there.
Yeah, I think
so. Hope so.
So the last thing we'll do here, I want to bring this up. Like I've been saying all episode, Keandre Miller and Alexi Lafreniere, they each have 1 year left on their entry-level contract, and they're eligible for an extension this offseason starting on July 13th. So they can sign a long-term deal, a short-term deal, whatever, now before the season, or the Rangers can wait and sign them next offseason if they want. So, I mean, Coach, would you approach both of them and try and lock them up now to a long-term 5 to 7, 8 year deal now before next season? Or would you kind of wait and see how they evolve?
I'm confident that both of those guys are going to be bona fide. I'm not going to say superstars, but I'm going to say stars.
Yeah.
Well, I would want to lock them up. But again, I don't understand the whole, how are you going to lock them up at $6 million a year for 5 years? And then your cap is hit this, you know, then we can't sign any of these guys again.
No. So next year, their contract is $925. That's it.
Oh, so you could lock them up after that?
And then their extension would start the following season.
Oh, okay.
So,
well,
so net for next year's cap, they would only count $925, but then after that, for the 2020, whatever, I don't even know what year it is anymore, 2023-24 season, they would start their extension.
I would definitely try to do something like that with both of those guys. Kako, no, but those two guys, and maybe, when would Schneider be eligible for that, next year?
No, he's got 2 years left, I think.
Schneider. Okay, so then we're good with him. Then I would definitely do those two.
Yeah, Schneider's got two more seasons on his entry level deal. So
I think Keandre learned a lot in these playoffs about how to dig in and grit his teeth a little bit. Just about
I would
did around the net and stuff.
I would try to get them on a 6 to 8 year deal. I think five's too short because we
but
have.
That wouldn't be smart for them, would it?
Well, it's a little bit of assurance. So it's like
if guaranteed I was money,
right? So if the Rangers are like, we'll give you 6 years, $5.5 million right now, regardless of how they develop, you never know. They break their knee, whatever. They're worth $33 million. And they're
I mean, me personally, I would do it in a heartbeat. But.
Or you bet on yourself and then go for that bigger number the year after. Because if they wait, they're going to end up paying those guys $6.5-7 million a year. It's just, it's going to happen because they're both going to break out real soon. So I would try and lock them up now with the enticement of this is guaranteed money and you want to be part of a winner and this is how much we have and this is, we want to commit to you and try and get them locked up at a reasonable number between 5 and 6 million. I think that deal would be a sweetheart deal in 3 years. You know, you look at that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Guy,
this guy's got 4 years left at $5.5 million and he's a stud defenseman or whatever, you know.
So I just don't think it'd be smart on their agent's part. Maybe go 4 years so they'd be 27, 28 and they could still hit the home run.
Coach, I think your numbers are a little off.
Why?
because Alexis Lafreniere is 20. A 6-year deal would take him to his contract would end at
27. How old is Keandre?
Keandre is 22.
All right. so he's still a 28. He can still hit the home run.
So he goes, you know, Lafreniere goes 6 years, $30 million. He's got $30 million in the bank, and then at 27, he signs an 8-year, $100 million contract with the salary cap exploding or whatever, and he's worth a ton of money. So I don't know. I think that if I was a young player, I would probably just sign that because I wouldn't want to risk. You never know what's going to happen. You know, you get concussed, your life's changed, you know, and then you didn't sign that deal. It's what happened to Matt Harvey. When he was on the Mets, he had that dominant season. He didn't sign an extension. He wanted to not pitch in the playoffs. Remember that in 2015? Yeah. He blew his arm out in the World Series. It was never the same and lost like $200 million that he could have had from that. So I don't know. I would definitely approach them for it. That would be my focus. But let's see. I don't think we're going to see too much craziness with the Rangers unless there's a surprise move to clear some cap space. I think it's going to be just kind of going through the motions of filling the roster out with some depth pieces. I think you got to look at some guys who are bought out, like a Patrick Hornquist or something like that. If he's bought out, he might sign like a Corey Perry 1-year, $1 million deal. We might see a couple of those veterans for the bottom six. But other than that, I think it's going to be, you know, a slow off season for the Rangers. I'm looking forward to it. And I guess we'll catch you guys, probably after the draft, right? When do you think we'll be back to record our off season update?
Yeah, probably after the draft, maybe 2 weeks. Give Mikey some time to recoup from his nuptials.
His nuptials. I didn't want to spoil it earlier, but you know.
I think we've talked about it a few times already, but that's okay.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. It's going to be exciting. And maybe we'll do a recap of the rivalry tours we did last year. We'll bring on some buddies and we'll talk about the Rangers not being better than their teams that they like and kind of see how they feel now. Right? And see what that group of Flyers fans think about Tortorella.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 150. The Stanley Cup playoffs have concluded, and a big congratulations go to the NHL champions Colorado Avalanche. The Avs took down the reigning two-time champion Tampa Bay Lightning in 6 games and were led by Cale Makar, who became the third D-man in NHL history to take home the Norris and the Conn Smythe in the same season. In the first round, we had some exciting matchups. Out west in oil country, we had a couple barn burners, with Edmonton taking down LA in 7 and Calgary dropping Dallas also in 7. Calgary came into the playoffs red hot and looking to be the major hurdle for Western Division favorite Avs, who just scooted by Dallas on an OT winner from Johnny Hockey. Connor McDavid put Edmonton through in the second round with a goal and an apple in the Oilers' 2-0 Game 7 win over the doughty-less LA Kings. With Calgary going through, the battle for Alberta was set for the second round. But after a 9-6 Game 1 victory, the Flames got lost on their way to the rink for the next 4 games and dropped the series 4-1 to Connor McDangles, who put the Oilers through to the Western Conference Finals. In the Central Division bracket, after taking a 2-1 series lead, the Minnesota Wild dropped 3 straight to the Blues. Colorado also faced off against the Preds, who simply got rolled 4-0 by the Avalanche. The Avs outscored the Preds 21-9 and took a nice break before facing off against the Blues. In the Central Division final, the Blues put up a good fight and Jordan Binnington stood on his head despite what score lines may indicate, but ultimately dropped the series 4-2 to the conference final bound Avalanche. In the conference finals, once again, the Avalanche put the gas pedal to the floor and absolutely throttled the Oilers with a 4-0 series victory. The Oilers offense put up some good goals, some good numbers, but ultimately the Avalanche blue line proved to be the difference at both ends of the ice. In the Eastern Conference, the Washington Capitals jumped out to a 2-1 series lead over the cup favorite Florida Panthers, but the Cats turned on the gas and rolled the Caps over the next 3 games to take a 4-2 series win. It is next my proud honor as a Bruins fan to announce that once again the Toronto Maple Leafs have laced up the golf spikes at the start of round 2 after dropping game 7 at home to the Lightning. Despite exiting once again in the first round, make no mistakes, the Leafs came to play this season and the big guns Matthews and Marner were ready for the postseason this year. Ultimately, Andre Vasilevskiy Vasilevskiy was the difference in this series and did enough against Matthews and Marner to put the Bolts through for a rematch in the battle for Florida. In said rematch, the Panthers' offense completely sputtered, and they put up a measly 3 goals through 4 games and surrendered a 4-0 series to the reigning champs. In the second time in 2 seasons, the Cats have been ousted by the Bolts, and there's going to be some pretty hungry guys in that locker room this offseason, no doubt. To the south, the Carolina Hurricanes took the first round series in 7 against the Bruins. The home team won every game in this series, and with the home ice advantage, the Canes' physical play was sufficient to oust Boston and move on to face the Rangers in round 2. The Rangers solved the Hurricanes, who couldn't manage to win a road game, and got to work on their handicaps at the start of round 3. In the Eastern Conference Finals, the Rangers' magic was not enough to get through the 2-time champs. The Rangers came out with a punch and took an early 2-0 series lead, but once again, Vasilevskiy absolutely slammed the door shut and only gave up 5 goals through the next 4 games. Finally, in the Stanley Cup Finals, Cale Makar tossed the Avalanche in his beer fridge, then tossed the beer fridge on his back, and then went out, won the Norris and the Conn Smythe, put up 29 points through the entire playoffs on the Avs' glorious, glorious run to Lord Stanley's Chalice. Andrei Vasilevskiy ultimately wasn't enough to stop the fittingly named Avalanche, who simply buried the Lightning at both ends of the ice. So congratulations go out to the Avalanche, and to all the fans out there, thanks for listening this far in the podcast. Till next season, this has been your 150.
Also, what I wanted to say earlier, but I said I'll save for later. Coach, did you see who the lead favorite candidate is for the Boston Bruins head coaching job?
No, I did not.
David Quinn.
Wow. Quincy.
So David Quinn is the lead right now. They're saying he's going to get the job. Where did he coach? BU or BC?
BU, I believe.
Boston guy, coached at BU, gets his, you know, what's the expression about chops or something? Licks his chops or something like that with the Rangers. And then goes, that's probably his dream job, is to coach the Bruins, right? So.
Yeah, he's from Massachusetts, right? Played with Leach back in the day in the New England area.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll talk about it on the rivalry tour, but some of these teams are in for a little bit of a change. Pittsburgh is going to lose a couple guys. Boston's Bergeron might retire.
They have Paul Quinn's going to get put in a
Bergeron
situation
again. Bergeron signed for a year.
Oh, he did? I missed that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. For like $1.25 million or something like that, maybe $1.5 million.
Are you kidding?
No.
That's hilarious. I missed that completely.
Bergeron signed for $1.5 million?
For 1 year, $1.5 million, I'm pretty sure. Something like that.
That could be off. I can't believe that's all he signed for.
Oh, he's trying to win. He's like, whatever, save the cap space. $1.5 million. That's
they must have gave him a job after he retires or something.
We'll give him a job $1 million
a year. That's crazy.
Yeah, he did sign. They're not releasing the amount of money he signed, but
Say anything yet?
No, but he did get a 1 year deal. I didn't see the price. It's probably rumored to be at that price, though. We'll see. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason. I'm looking forward to it. But all right, boys, getting late. Let's wrap this up, and I'll see you guys after the draft.
Good episode, boys.
All right, boys, let's go Rangers. Let's see how they do.
Let's go Rangers.
Let's go Rangers.
Can't wait for next season already. Looking forward to a good offseason. Good night, guys. Love you.
I love you guys.